Find Them Dead by Peter James. Read by Daniel Wayman. Chapter 1. Monday, the 26th of November. Mickey Starr gazed into the night, feeling restless and apprehensive, and afraid. It wasn't fear of the darkness, but of what lay beyond it. "Going to be fine," he tried to reassure himself. He'd done these channel crossings before without a hitch, so why should this one be any different? But it was. No escaping the fact this was different. Fear was something that had never troubled him before, but throughout this trip he had been feeling a growing anxiety, and now as the shore grew closer, he was truly frightened. Terrified. If it all went pear-shaped, what would happen to the one person in his life who had ever really meant anything to him and who loved him unconditionally? Whatever bad things he may have done. Wrapped up against the elements in a heavy coat and a beanie, roll-up smouldering in his cupped hand, the muscular, grizzled 43-year-old stood on the heaving deck of the car ferry, braced against a stanchion to keep his balance. In prison, some 18 years back, his cellmate, an Irishman with a wry sense of humour, had given him the nickname Lucky Star. Mickey should feel lucky, he told him, because he had a spare testicle after losing one to cancer in his teens, a spare eye after a detached retina in one had put an end to his boxing career, and a spare arm for the one he'd subsequently lost in a motorbike accident. It was 4 a.m. and he was fighting off seasickness. He wasn't feeling particularly lucky at this moment, out here in the middle of the English Channel, in this storm. He had a bad feeling that maybe he'd used up all his luck. Perhaps he should have found someone else to come with him after his colleague had pulled out at the last minute due to sickness. He always felt less vulnerable and conspicuous when he had a female companion with him. Maybe the Range Rover he was driving was too shouty. "Put it out of your mind, Mickey. Get on with the job." The sea was as dark as extinction. Salty spray stung as he squinted through the bitter wind and driving rain. His confidence in tatters, he was wondering if he was making the most stupid mistake of his life. "Calm down. Pull yourself together. Look confident. Be lucky. Be lucky." And soon he would be home. Back with his younger brother Stewie, who totally depended on him. Stewie had Down syndrome, and Mickey affectionately referred to him as his homie with an extra chromie. Many years ago, Mickey made a promise to their dying mum that he would always take care of him, and he always had. His differently abled brother had taught Mickey how to see life in other ways, more simply, better. He wouldn't be doing any more runs for the boss after this. He'd talked with Stewie about setting up a business with the cash he'd stashed away, nice money from the small quantities of drugs he'd pilfered from his boss on each run, too small for him to ever notice. Although this time he'd added substantially to the cargo, and a very nice private deal awaited him. Big proceeds. The biggest ever. But now he was riddled with doubt. All it needed was one sharp-eyed customs officer. He tried to shake that thought away. Everything was going to be fine, just as it always had been on each of these trips. Wasn't it? Stewie liked cooking and constantly, proudly, wore his special chef's toque Mickey had bought him for his birthday last year. Mickey had planned to buy a chippy as close to Brighton seafront as he could afford, or in nearby Eastbourne or Worthing, where the prices were lower. But with the money he stood to make now, he'd be able to afford something actually on Brighton seafront, where the best earnings were to be made, and he had his eye on a business in a prime location near to the Palace Pier that had just come up for sale. Stewie would work in the kitchen, preparing the food, and he would be doing the frying and front of house. All being well, in a few days he'd have the cash to buy it. He just had to get his load safely through customs and onto the open road. And then